Today's scripture comes from Psalm 40, starting at verse 5 and down to verse 10. Listen to these words. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, and the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me on the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness. All right, do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Sometimes there's a great deal of conversation about how do we live the life that God wants us to live? What is it about and how do we do it? And I think as a young Christian, not having grown up in the church, I needed a lot more instruction than most folks. And I needed to have some deep understanding on how do I do that and how do I continue to grow. And I want to let you know that there's still a lot of Christians, and I've met them in many different churches, that have yet to get a concept of the spiritual life should be a life that's a continuing, ongoing, growing practice, something that we live and that we breathe each and every day. And I want to admit to you, it's difficult. It's a difficult pathway to walk. And it's also difficult because there's a lot to the Bible, isn't there? From beginning to end, there's a whole lot. And to try to keep all of that straight in my mind, I don't know about you, but I'm a person that throughout my life until here recently, I always needed to have a to-do list. Okay? It made it much easier for me. I know the things that I need to accomplish. I know what needs to be done. And when I worked Navy contracts, I had to have a list that was updated throughout the week. Because for this ship, we need this, and for this ship, we need this, and this is the next step on this, and this is the next step on this. And if nothing else, I wanted to make sure that if I needed to be out of the shop for a day, out on the ship, there was somebody else who could look at my notes and know that what was in the shop, here's what needs to be done. Here's the next things that need to be done, and this is the priority of things. To-do list has been my thing for most of my life until recently. And even then, I still have some things that I make sure that I know, yep, that needs to be done. But what I want to tell you is that care for the spiritual life needs to be a greater emphasis in Christian lives. Our care for our spiritual lives need to have a greater emphasis than what we do most of the time. Because I know there's a lot of people that, well, I come to church and that's what I need to do. But folks, if that's all that your care is for your spiritual life, it's going to be lacking. It will be lacking if that's all it is for you is, well, I come to church and I do what I need to do. Because I have found in my life that caring for my spiritual life is something that's got to be done every day. Maybe I'm deficient in some ways. because it's something I have to concentrate on. It's something I have to think about. It's something I have to look at every day. And I've been doing this as a practice for a great number of years now. Whether it's getting up in the morning and spending some time with God in a concentrated way, a morning, as you would say, a quiet time, where it's just, well, it's just me and a cup of coffee and my Bible and quite often the cat in my lap, and we're just being in God's presence. And I really don't know how to start a day without doing that. I will know it's always a challenge if the grandkids are in, or if we go to see the grandkids, it becomes a challenge to have that quiet time in the morning. So those of you that've got kids running around the house, understand. But there needs to be some kind of concentrated time where we do that. Another thing that I do each day is, towards the end of the day, often while I'm laying in bed trying to fall asleep, I think through my day. What did I do today? Who did I talk to? Who did I interact with? Could I have done it better? Do I need to go talk to them about something I said wrong? Do I need to continue? What is it, Lord, I need to improve on tomorrow? And yes, there's some people that maybe I didn't treat them as a Christian would, and I may never see them again. How do I learn from that situation so that tomorrow I do something differently when that happens again? Those are two of my things that I continue to do. I continue to try to read through the Bible. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. But you see, so many people, they believe that spiritual care, all they need to do is come to church. And if I come to church, if I attend Sunday school, if I'm at worship service, that's it, and I've done what I needed to do. And I want to tell you, we need to have a greater emphasis on what's going on. Because here's my pathway, and I'm going to explain my pathway to you and what happened for me. Not having grown up in church and starting out as a 19-year-old as a new Christian in college, away from home, I needed a whole lot. And I needed to understand, well, what does the Bible say that a Christian can do and what can a Christian not do? I didn't really want to know what everybody said the Bible said, because I've learned that sometimes people don't quite get it right. I wanted to know what the Bible said. What did God say about how I should live and what I should do and the ways that I should walk? I didn't have any things to unlearn about growing up in church. Now, I know some of you are going to go, wait a minute, unlearn. I know your Sunday school teacher probably taught you at some point in time that the animals went on the ark two by two, right? I would strongly encourage you to go read the story, because they didn't. There were some animals that went on the ark more than two by two. And I've met people that, somebody said they didn't go on two by two. My Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Brown, she taught me that when I was in kindergarten, and I know she was right. And I want to say, what does the Bible say? So there were some things I didn't have to unlearn. Like, oh, Jonah was so happy when the whole city of Nineveh repented, because I got that book at home, and the very last page in the Jonah book shows him smiling and excited and happy that all the people of Nineveh got saved. That's not what the Bible says. Jonah is probably the biggest two-year-old there is in the Bible, because he threw a fit and pouted in Jonah chapter 4 And I would encourage you to go read Jonah chapter 4. And I always wonder, why don't we tell kids about him pouting? Why don't we tell kids about Jonah didn't like what God did? Oh, I know why. Because we want them to know the first part of the story. I'm your parent. I told you to do something. You have to do it. And see, Jonah finally did it, and he was happy about doing it. That's not the book of Jonah. And if you think that's the book of Jonah, there's a part of Jonah's story you need to unlearn. Because Jonah pouts, and he sits down at the end of the book of Jonah, and God says, is it right that you should be angry about me saving your enemies? And Jonah says, yes, it's right. And God says, okay, then just sit there. And thus ends the book of Jonah. You know what the book of Jonah is asking us to do? Number one, are we going to do what God asked us to do? And number two, are we going to be mad when God does things that we don't like save our enemies? Are we going to sit and pout about it the rest of our lives? Because I've often, Bible study wise, I've often asked people, I want you to write Jonah chapter 5. Finish the story. Did Jonah stop pouting? Or did he sit there the rest of his life like a 2-year-old trying to get God to do what Jonah wanted God to do, which was destroy the whole town of Nineveh? And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we expecting God to do something that God's not going to do? And are we going to pout about it when God doesn't do what we want? Well, the answer to that question is yes, a lot of people do. Because I know people that have been mad at God and refused to ever come to church again because they didn't like how God worked things out. Is that not the book of Jonah? You see, as a young Christian, I didn't know all these stories. I did not know them. And I did not know what the Bible said. So what I needed then was I basically needed a list of do these things, don't do these things as a young Christian. Here are the things that I'm allowed to do. Here are the things I'm not allowed to do anymore if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And I needed that list. Because it really helped me. I almost needed yes and no, black and white. It needed to be that way. And when people would tell me, you can't do that as a Christian, I would say, show me where that is in the Bible so I know. Now, I'm just going to bring up one thing that Baptists are very traditional about not supporting. And that's dancing. You're not supposed to dance. The Bible says so. Then I want to say, how come there's so many passages where it talks about them dancing and praising God and being excited about God? So I didn't want the do this, don't do this list that came from church. I wanted the do this, don't do this list that came from the Bible. That's what I needed. And I think too many people have learned only a list of commandments that must be followed and obeyed. Too many people have learned that list. Now, there's not anything wrong with learning that list and understanding yes on some of these things, no on some of these things. That's understandable. But I want to tell you there's more. There's more. And when we stop by making two lists that I can check off whether I did it or I didn't do it when I'm not supposed to, we've stopped short. And we haven't become mature in our faith. because we've got these two lists that we're checking our whole life off by. And I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more. What does it say in verse 6 here? It says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Wait a minute. There's whole sections of the Bible that talk about sacrifice and offering and what we're supposed to do. It tells us when to do it and how to do it and how much to have when we sacrifice and we do our offerings. By the way, the church idea of offerings, I'm just going to say it. You give a 10% of everything, right? That's what the church teaches. Do you know that's not what the Bible teaches? The Bible does not teach 10%. If you want to follow those legalistic rules, 10% is a starting place, and then there's this offering, and then there's this offering, and then there's this offering that get added to that. And then we move to the New Testament, and I like to say it this way. I'm glad Jesus didn't give 10%. Jesus gave 100% of who he was for you and I. And if he's supposed to be our example, then what are we supposed to give? 100% of our life for the kingdom of God. A tithe is too small. Jesus gave his all, not just 10%. And without Jesus giving his all, I can't have life. This is one of those examples where it says here, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. What did God desire? God desired a whole lot more from us. God wants a whole lot more from us. Not just sacrifice and offering. You see, these lists, they become part of checking off things done right and wrong things avoided. Okay? I'm going to check off all the things on my list that I did right. And I'm going to check off all the things that I didn't do that I wasn't supposed to do. Got that right, got that right, got that one right, got that one right. And now it becomes a list that we can produce to say, see, we done did it. And yes, I know that's bad grammar. But I'm hoping by using bad grammar, you might remember something. I done did it, God. I followed every rule, and I followed all the rules that say don't do that. And now you must accept me in heaven. Is that true? Because you followed all the rules? Isn't that the young man that comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, follow these commandments. And what does the young man say? Already done did that. I followed all those rules since I was born. First off, there's one rule he didn't follow because he just lied. You can't tell me he followed every rule and never made a mistake. Okay, yes, I've met those people. But everybody makes mistakes, don't they? Isn't that what the Bible says? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. The Bible says everybody sins. If you didn't sin ever in your life, you don't need Jesus. Jesus had to come because we all sin. That's why. And what I'm getting at is when this becomes a list of do's and don'ts, we're totally missing out I followed the list. Folks, I know what the Jewish people believe. They believe in the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible. There's 613 commandments, not 10. 613. Start naming them now and let me know which ones you miss. Got them all? I ain't got them all. I don't know what all 613 of them are. And I've read the Bible through. And I can't list all 613. Can you imagine going out into the world tomorrow and trying to remember all 613 so you can check off whether you've done it right? Or, I didn't do that one because I'm not supposed to. You want to try living that way tomorrow? 613. Now, I tend to think there's a lot more than that, but that's the number they've come up with, Jewish scholars. What I want to let you know is what I see here, especially in this. Scripture talks about a spirituality living from a joyful, heartfelt desire. A spirituality living from a joyful, heartfelt desire, not a checklist, not a to-do list for the week. It's a desire. Those of you that have been following along with Lectio 365, there's a scripture that's quoted every morning. Anybody remember where it is? Psalm 63. I hunger and I thirst for you, God. I hunger and I thirst. That's not a checklist. Can you check off whether you hunger and thirst for a deeper relationship with God? No, because to me, that hunger and thirsting is a thing that continues. I don't finish hunger and thirsting. They use that scripture every morning for the beginning of every devotion. And then Psalm 42, which the ladies played for us 2 weeks ago, I think it was, talks about the deer that what? That pants for the living waters of God. Lord, I thirst for you so much, just as the deer pants for the stream. I thirst for you. Is that living by a checklist? I don't think it is. I think that's a joyful, heartfelt desire. I want to drink, God, from the greatest streams that you can supply for me. St. Teresa of Avila, in her book, Interior Castle, which is one of the works that I studied on my sabbatical 2 years ago, an absolutely incredible book. She talks about, in part of that book, we find a living fountain of water. And we construct things in our lives for that water to get into the depths of our lives where it needs to be. We hunger and we thirst so much for a deeper relationship with God that we construct ways to get that water deeper into our lives. And then she talks about as we grow in our spiritual lives, we find a place where that water just bubbles up so much and that we don't have to construct anything to get to us. It bubbles up and it just fills us and it overflows us. Is that the kind of hunger, desire that you have to come to know God? Is that a deeper relationship that you want with God? That's not a checklist, is it? That's a hunger. That's a desire that I want so much more. You see, a joyful desire expands in our lives, leading to a greater desire to walk as God planned for us. When I get up in the morning and it's like, oh, I can't wait to drink. from the streams of living water by sitting with God. I can't wait. I want that. That's something that creates more within me than a checklist. I mean, it's nice, and a part of your life as a Christian, maybe you need a checklist. Did this, didn't do this. I remember when I first started going to church. Deanne and I didn't start going to church until about 1990 was when I actually started going to church full on. We had offering envelopes that had a checklist on them. Are you attending Sunday school this week? Check. Have you read your Bible this week? Check. Did you prepare for Sunday school? Check. I mean, it actually had boxes on there for you to check off. Now, you know what I know? Almost nobody did it. They might use the offering envelopes, but I almost never saw anybody check anything off on the offering envelopes. Is that because they just didn't want to be too prideful? I have a feeling it's just because they didn't do it. Because I talk to a lot of people about some of this stuff, and you know how they talk to me about it? They don't talk about it as a care, a personal care type thing. They talk, well, you know, I need to read my Bible more. It's something they can check off. And I can ask them a week later, have you done it? Well, no, not yet. I'm trying to get things straight so that I can start doing that. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I don't come to church because I'm a caregiver and I have to be taking care of such and such a person at this point in time. And there'll be a point in time that I won't be doing that anymore. And that's when I'll start coming back to church. And I hate to tell you, the lady didn't. She no longer had to take care of her grandmother because her grandmother had died. And I still didn't see her at church. And I kind of wonder, where's that joyful, heartfelt desire that says, I want to know God more? I don't think she had it. And I want to ask you to think about, do you have this joyful, heartfelt desire to know God better? Checklist is a good place to start out, but there's something so much more. I want you to listen. Just listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He's talking about he's the good shepherd. And he says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The way I memorized this verse in the NASB, it says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have abundance. And I want to ask you, is your spiritual life an abundance? Are you living your spiritual life to the full? Because this psalmist says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Checklist, you don't desire God. And then in verse 8 it says, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. And I don't think that means your law is within my heart in such a way that I can check off whether I did it or not. I think it's talking about this joyful, heartfelt desire that it just seems like it can't be satisfied. because I'm always wanting more. And you see, I moved in my spiritual life from a time of checklist. Got it done. Believe me, the navigators taught me that and taught me that well. Did I memorize my two verses of scripture for this week? And when you show up at your Bible study, you hand them your pack of cards that you've been memorizing your scripture so they could test you on your two verses that you memorized that week. So everybody in our group knew John 11:35. Do you know what John 11:35 says? This is the totality. And when you tell me you can't memorize scripture, you can memorize this verse. There is no doubt you can memorize John 11:35. It says, Jesus wept. That's it. There's no more to that verse. So if you tell me you can't memorize scripture, you mean to tell me you can't memorize those two words? Jesus wept. Everybody in the group that I was in knew that verse. My verse for this week is John 11:35. Jesus wept. John 11:35. You know what that meant when somebody quoted that? I didn't get my verses memorized this week. I memorized hundreds of verses in the Navigators, and I wish I could remember them all now. I work on trying to remember them every week. There's maybe about 100 or so that I know now. But those 100 and so that I know, they're in my heart. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. It's no longer a checklist for me. Because I want to live that abundant life that Jesus came for me to live. That's what I want. Abundance doesn't mean one serving, by the way. What does abundance mean to you? Abundance means that, Roger, there's more chili in the pot. Or there's more chili in the freezer. Or there's more chili. I don't remember when that was, but we got joking about that because Deanne made chili, I don't know, it seemed like about 3 weeks in a row, and the freezer was full of chili. And Roger kept coming to me and asked, you still got chili in the freezer? And now Deanne's going to tell you she didn't do that, but there was still a lot of chili in the freezer. To me, that's abundance. It's not one serving. Is your desire, your spiritual desire to live your, is it an abundance? That's what Jesus came for. Not just enough to be satisfied by. By the way, one key lime pie is not enough to satisfy me. Amen? You need at least two or three or four or five key lime pies. I want an abundance. And yes, you can deliver them this afternoon if you would like to. I'm not looking for you to deliver them. But I'm talking about abundance in the spiritual life. Have you allowed your faith to grow from a checklist to a joyful desire to live God's will? Have you allowed your faith to grow from a checklist? Did that, didn't do that one. I done did everything the way I'm supposed to. By the way, I hope you remember, be who you are, not who you aren't. Because if you are who you aren't, you'll never be who you are. Got that one? Be who you are, not who you aren't. Because if you only be who you aren't, you'll never be who you are. Yeah, I know all kinds of messed up grammar. It helps me to remember some things, though. Are you living an abundant spiritual life? Let's pray. Lord, Scripture should bring us all these questions. Scripture should make us search deep within our lives. And Lord, living the life that you want us to live is not a to-do list. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a list of so much more. It's a joyful, heartfelt desire to live the abundance that you want us to live. Not just going, that's good enough. And sometimes, Lord, when all we've got is a list, it's more about, that's enough. Finish my list for the day. But Lord, you've got so much more for us. And sometimes we stop so short. Create within us a new heart. Create within us a deep, rich desire to live into the abundance you have for us. Help us to see where we need to change things so that we can live that abundance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.